From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In Beirut today, a funeral was held for a young Shiite man who was killed in fighting on Sunday. He was the first man killed since anti-government demonstrations began late last week. Opposition leaders say they plan to keep their protests peaceful, but they intend to force Prime Minister Fouad Sinyora's resignation, just as the ruling coalition forced the previous leader to step down last year. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Beirut.
As the coffin of Ahmed Mahmoud was carried into a Shiite mosque for funeral prayers, mourners heard a message from the Christian opposition leader Michel Aoun, who said there was nothing to do but forgive Mahmoud's killer as they try to topple this government and build a new Lebanon. But as the mourners crowded around the flag-draped coffin, a chant of death to Sinyora, the current prime minister, swept through the crowd. Organizers urged the crowd to calm down, and the funeral ended peacefully. But fears that this political dispute could degenerate into sectarian bloodshed are on the rise. Prime Minister Sinyora and his Druze ally Walid Jumblatt say they're open to restarting a national dialogue. So far, Hezbollah and its opposition allies say first the government must resign before new talks can begin. On the street, there are clear comparisons between last year's March 14th rallies and this year's demonstration. Large crowds in Martyrs Square, a tent city of core protesters determined to remain until the government falls, and allegations from the government that the demonstrators are attempting a coup. Hezbollah lawmaker Nawar Sahli says the government has no grounds to complain. He says it's the same process that Sinyora and his allies used last year to force the resignation of former Prime Minister Omar Karami.
They used the same way last year, and there was a person named Omar Karami who was a prime minister and who had the majority in the parliament, but he heard the Lebanese people and he resigned with a big decision and he left the power.
But some analysts say that analogy doesn't stand up to scrutiny. Historian and writer Fawaz Trabulsi says last year Omar Karami faced a country in an uproar over the assassination of a leading Sunni politician, former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. Karami's own base in the Sunni community was part of that uproar, and the national outrage was channeled into a successful effort to force Syria to end its decades-long military presence in Lebanon. By contrast, Trabulsi says Sinyora has relatively strong support internally.
It was the impact of the assassination on the Sunni community and the feeling of Omar Karami that he cannot hold at a time when strong suspicion was that Syria was behind it. That's quite different from what we have now. What we have now is a multi-sectarian opposition, and the issue is toppling the Sinyora government in the name of the right of the opposition to have a major share in running the affairs of the country.
The problem for the government is not simply that sharing power, the way Hezbollah and its allies want, would hand the opposition a veto over any legislation it doesn't agree with. Under Lebanon's constitution, if the opposition has more than a third of the seats, it could bring down the government at any time, simply by resigning. On the other hand, the opposition has legitimate grievances, says Trabulsi. After more than a year in office, the Sinyora government has accomplished virtually nothing in the way of major reforms. Perhaps even more damning for many Lebanese was the behavior of the government and the anti-Syrian bloc known as the March 14th forces after Hezbollah kidnapped two Israeli soldiers and Israel launched a huge military operation that killed an estimated 1,000 Lebanese, most of them civilians.
And at the time when the whole of Lebanon was being bombed, the first reaction of the government was to say, we have nothing to do with this war. Second, the feeling by many Lebanese, not only Hezbollah, was that at a time where people were sacrificing their lives, both civilians and Hezbollah, and the majority of them were civilians and children, as you know, people from the 14th of March were talking about disarming Hezbollah, rather than find a solution.
At the moment, finding a solution that satisfies both the opposition and the government appears a distant prospect. That leaves Lebanese to wonder how long their lives and their country's economy will be disrupted. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Beirut.